Radio.com.
My name is Damian Sandow, and I am here to help all of you. As your intellectual savior, I can no longer stand idly by and watch as you, the unwashed masses, plunge further into the bowels of your own inadequacies and shortcomings.
Wild Talk Radio presents to you the Monday Night Raw Post Show.
No, no, no! This is supposed to be about me! This was supposed to be the greatest night of my life! And not only will I be the champion, but I will be the face of the WWE!
Featuring Sir Rockin'.
Let me tell you something, you self-righteous little puke. I am an A-plus player. I always have been, and I always will be.
And Lindsay Ward.
I have shattered glass ceilings. I have broken down doors. I have done more in 1 year than all of you have done in your entire collective careers.
Interact with us live and give us your thoughts on everything that happens on Monday Night Raw. Now step into the ring with us for the Raw Post Show.
Because we believe in doing what is best for all of you.
Because after all, what's best for all of you is what's best for business.
Behold the King, the King of Kings. On your knees, dog. All hail, bow down to the, bow down to the King.
Oh, good evening, everybody. Welcome to another edition of the Raw Post Show, live across the airways of the Wild Talk Radio Network, presented as always by Wrestling Figure Wednesday. Go to youtube.com/MBG1211. I am Sir Rockin, joined as always by Lindsay Ward.
Tonight was, oh my, tonight. Yeah, I don't even know what to say about that. Just holy crap. I mean, holy crap.
Yeah, that's the best way to put it. Holy crap. Stuff's happened. Good wrestling. And as the logo on the screen right here on wildtalkradio.com says, it's what's best for business, and that was the phrase thrown around all night long. So, let's begin at the top, I guess. And, well, the authority came out, and they talked to a doctor. Not just any doctor, Lindsay. Brian's.
Daniel Bryan's doctor, yeah. They address the rumors that have been going around for weeks now.
And we will listen to him right now. Yeah.
Despite Daniel Bryan's desire to return to his normal activities, it would be detrimental to his long-term health if he returned too soon. Even though Daniel is not cleared to compete this month, he will be reevaluated in the coming weeks to get him back into the ring as soon as possible.
So there you have it. Daniel Bryan will be unable to compete at the Money in the Bank ladder match pay-per-view. So, well, I know you guys, but you can't be that disappointed. I mean, you just can't expect an A-plus recovery from a B-plus player.
That's right. You can't. And don't blame us. I mean, listen, guys, at the end of the day, this is not the Daniel Bryan fan club, okay? This is the WWE. It is a business. And what is best for business is having a champion that can actually defend his championship. Something that your beloved Daniel Bryan clearly cannot do at the Money in the Bank pay-per-view.
Therefore, it is with heavy heart that we officially strip Daniel Bryan of the WWE World Heavyweight Championship. I said it last week. If Daniel Bryan could not compete, then unfortunately our hand is forced. We have to do what's best for business. Now, Daniel, our condolences go out to you. I know that you're hearing this for the first time right now. My assistant tried to call you earlier today, but you never returned her phone call. And quite frankly, our condolences go out to your ungrateful wife, Bree, as well, who, as it turns out, quit for absolutely nothing.
She is a shrewd businesswoman.
She's something else, I'll tell you. Very, very bright. But, you know, this really, unlike Daniel and Bree, the show must go on for everyone else. So, therefore, for the first time ever, there will be a WWE World Heavyweight Championship ladder match at the Money in the Bank pay-per-view. And who will have the honor of competing in that match? Well, there will be a series of qualifying matches. Therefore, the first entrant into the Money in the Bank ladder match for the WWE World Heavyweight Championship will be Alberto Del Rio.
And that is not all. The second person entered, well, just deserves it because he is who he is, and that is the Viper, Randy Orton. We can guarantee you that at the Money in the Bank pay-per-view, we will crown a new WWE World Heavyweight Champion.
Amen to that.
All right. One thing, because there's still more to this promo, but that's all the audio we have from it, because they went to a video package from there. They cut out Steph Flub in that audio, which was nice because she said that Stephanie said the first man qualified last week on SmackDown. It was Monday Night Raw. But there you have it. Daniel Bryan is no longer the WWE champion, and that's big news coming out of Monday Night Raw.
Yeah, probably the biggest news coming out of Monday Night Raw, and it was something that we were all kind of expecting, at least those of us have kind of been keeping an eye on this ever since Bryan had the surgery, because that's been the, you know, kind of the million-dollar question. Is Bryan going to be able to get back on his feet by Money in the Bank? We knew that Payback was out of the question when he had the surgery. He was not going to be able to compete. And everybody was wondering about Money in the Bank, because it's like, you know, he could be healed by then or he could be not, and news started to leak that Bryan was not recovering at the rate that they wanted him to, or that he needed to, that he's actually having a much more difficult recovery, which is unfortunate to hear, because you never want anybody to have to suffer while they're recovering, and that was throwing everything into question. And I know a lot of people are actually upset about this, but honestly, they really didn't have a choice.
No, they really didn't, and we talked about this on the Rack on Thursday night, 11 p.m. Eastern, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network, that we kind of sort of didn't think Daniel Bryan would make it to Money in the Bank, and it was pretty much clear to many people in the WWE over the weekend that he was not going to make it. So this comes as no surprise to people in WWE, and it really shouldn't have been a surprise to many, and if you think about it, this gives Daniel Bryan actual time to stay away. He doesn't have to travel. And he can get healthy once again.
Yeah, the biggest thing is that was coming out of this is with the title still on him, there was a lot of pressure on him to recover quickly. They needed that quick turnaround because they wanted him back, you know, at Money in the Bank or sooner if they could get him back, and that just wasn't going to happen. And this relieves that pressure on him. You know, it's something of they finally did what they had to do. Honestly, they gave him what, almost 6 weeks?
We're about 4 weeks in.
Okay, so they gave him about 4 weeks to kind of sort of figure out and assess it and go from there. They gave him time just so they could figure everything out. They waited, and when they realized it wasn't going to happen, that they finally made the call. And they did make it. But you have to applaud them for it. They didn't make a hasty booking decision here.
No, they actually took their time. They've waited 4 weeks, because if you think about it, they could have done it 4 weeks ago when they were in Europe and stripped him of the championship right before he got surgery, or right after he got surgery, rather. And they actually waited. LeMans goes in chairman. They could have had him hold the titles hostage, because, to be honest, the fans don't seem to care if he competes as long as he keeps the titles. But then when you look back at his reign, LeMans, I question whether or not you would consider his reign a successful one if all he did was sit out injured with the championships.
The thing is with that, it's a good thought, but the deal with that is Brian can only really hold the title hostage for so long, and then the corporate power structure kicks in, and, you know, he can hold on to the physical belts, which I'm going to get into in a minute, for as long as he wants. They have spares. So I'm sure Stephanie and Hunter weren't the least bit concerned, because it's like, well, if you want to hold on to your title, that's fine, you can hold on to it, but you're not going to be recognized as the WWE champion. And that's the thing, is in this case, Daniel Bryan doesn't have anybody on the corporate side backing him and keeping him as champion. They gave Bryan two opportunities to give up the title. You know, Brie got involved. Brie quit to save Daniel Bryan's title last week. Or, I'm sorry, not last week. Yeah.
Yeah, eight days ago.
God, was that just 8 days ago? It's been kind of crazy for me.
Yeah. Yeah, it's only been 8 days.
And you know, they gave him a chance on Raw as well.
Mm-hmm.
And he didn't do it, and, you know, they were waiting on the news to see if Daniel Bryan could compete. And he couldn't. And that's the thing, is it's like, it's all going to come down to if he can get medically cleared. And if he can't get medically cleared, then they're technically under the gun to strip him of the title, because, one, he's a champion who can't compete. And two, well, that pesky 30-day rule that everybody complained about when Dean Ambrose was champion kind of kicks in.
And it kicked in, actually, technically, I would assume, really quickly. I think it may be... It was actually last week, on the 4th, June 4th. It kicked, that was 30 days. Actually, June 3rd was 30 days.
Yeah, so it's something... they did have, actually, legit cause to strip him of the title, but... And to get back to your point of him holding the title hostage, he can hold the physical title, but given the fact that, again, he doesn't have anybody in the corporate side of things defending him, there's not much he can do if the company decides... You're no longer WWE champion. Here's a FedEx box. Send us the belts back at your leisure. We've got the spares.
And they were hanging above the ring tonight.
Yeah, that was the other thing. Like, I know they've got the spares. I know they do. But it's just like, you know, they kept saying, oh, Daniel Bryan's finding out right now as we're on air that he's stripped of the title. But, oh yeah, by the way, here's the titles above the ring. It's like, wait, what?
They got new ones made.
They
can,
yeah,
they can always come back with, like, Shawn Michaels did, and he calls himself the real Intercontinental Champion. You never know. Because back in the day when they did the first ladder match, that's why they did it, because Shawn came back with the title, because after he went out suspended, and they held a tournament, Razor won the title, and it's why they did the ladder match for both belts. Anyway, sorry, go ahead.
No, just LeMans asked the question of, you know, I have a question, do you think he will get the titles back anytime soon? I don't think he'll get them back right away. When he comes back, they'll make him work his way back into title contention. Will he be champion again? Yes. Will it be, like I said, it won't be right away. They're going to work him back into the title picture, because honestly, in terms of Daniel Bryan being champion, I think he's a lot better chasing than he is as the actual champion. Because in terms of, you think of the story that they told with Daniel Bryan and how they got him to the title at WrestleMania, everybody was invested in the build to that and the push for that and him constantly getting screwed over and him chasing the title and persevering against the authority and then finally overcoming the authority at WrestleMania and having that, you know, ultimate WrestleMania moment of winning the title at the biggest show of the year. And then once he kind of got the title, Brian, at least to me, fell a little flat, but that's partially due to circumstance because he, you know, had things happen in his personal life. He got married, he lost his father, and now he's gotten injured, where we didn't really get to see much of him as champion.
Yeah, he's had some unfortunate circumstances since he became champion. It was very bad timing. Even though when the moment happened, it was the greatest time in the world, it ended up in a very unfortunate time period for him.
Yeah, so, you know, Brian will get the title back. And that's the thing that everybody needs to keep in mind with this whole situation on Monday Night Raw, is that WWE really wasn't left with an option. Brian needs to heal up. He doesn't need to come back. He doesn't, you know, too early. He doesn't need to cause himself potential further injury. It's just easier to take the title off him, let him sit at home, let him recover. He can come back to a triumphant return, and then they can start to push him into that title picture again where he can eventually get the title back. Because that's the great thing in WWE. You can always get the title back.
And I don't think it's a matter of getting the title back. He will be once again become a thorn in the side of the authority.
Oh, yes.
And that's where his best role is going forward. And if the championship sort of finds its way back to him at that point, so be it. But I think he'll come back and be a real thorn to one Stephanie McMahon here soon. That being said, there is more to this promo. We're only 5 minutes into the show at this point. Triple H continued to talk, and this time he focused on what happened with Seth Rollins and the Shield last week. Hunter said he believed in Seth Rollins. He then said to Dean Ambrose and Roman Reigns, he said, "What is left of the once dominant Shield will whimper to the end. Tonight in this very ring, in a 6-man tag team match, the Wyatts will take on the Shield." Well, what's ever left of the Shield. And they will probably have a hard time finding a partner tonight, since, well, they've alienated the entire locker room, since they've destroyed everyone. And he told everyone to pull out those cell phones, capture the Shield whimpering into extinction. Tonight, the Shield will perish. Smiles. And that's how...
This is where Lizzie went, yes!
Because later tonight, 6-man tag, the Wyatts are in action.
Against what's left of the Shield, it's like, ooh, this is going to be good!
Mm-hmm. And then, speaking of good, our opening contest of the evening, Sheamus versus Wayburn, champion versus champion, in a Money in the Bank qualifying match. Great match.
I love when these two get to fight each other. I really do.
They just beat the crap out of one another for like 15 minutes. It's fun. It's awesome. And there was a point where Barrett just started kicking Sheamus in the head over and over and over again. It's like, holy crap.
Yeah, he did. It's kind of awesome.
But they countered some moves. Like I said, he kicked them in the head a few times. But there was one kick that didn't miss, and that was the bro kick. Sheamus wins over Barrett. Sheamus moves on to Money in the Bank.
Which is kind of an interesting choice.
How so?
You've had Barrett. Barrett's been on a real roll lately. You know, you've set him up as IC champion, and you've been pushing him, you know, getting some momentum behind him, and it's kind of interesting that they went with Sheamus over Barrett, beyond Sheamus has more experience in ladder matches, I guess, than Barrett does.
Yeah.
Go ahead. And I suppose they don't want to risk Barrett getting hurt.
Well, Sheamus got hurt last year in the Money in the Bank, so I don't think he was too thrilled in going, oh, hey, I'm in a ladder match. Because that put him at, what, 6 months? The last one? Something like that.
It did. But it's also, it's not, I guess it's also not too surprising since it's going to be for the title. I'm sure a lot of the plans got changed in terms of who's going to go in the title match.
Yeah.
Because it's now a 6 or 8 man title match as opposed to just a Money in the Bank match.
By
so
the,
it's like you really, you have to have the credentials to get into that match.
And by the looks of it, I think it's 7. I think that was how the graphic looked. I think it's 7 men.
Probably.
Probably something like that. Sheamus also has the championship pedigree. He's a former WWE and World Heavyweight Champion. That is true, and you should, there's a P in the word champion, Kinkins. Anyway, moving on, he says. We saw a sheet mask. We heard a Harper. He's talked a little bit. And then Bray Wyatt started to talk a bit, a little bit. He said the Shield used to refer to themselves as the most dominant force in the universe. But he doesn't remember it that way. Bray said the Shield fell to the sins of the man. Lust and greed for glory. Bray Wyatt once again told us he has been reborn and can never be broken. And well, this is the moment where he went. His urges can never be satisfied.
Oh, Bray, the shitstorm you started, every fangirl everywhere is going to take that as a personal challenge. I hope you realize that.
I'm just going to leave it at that. Good promo by Bray Wyatt.
This is a great promo. I actually really like how they're getting Rowan and Harper more involved in the promos. I actually like how Harper is talking more and he's sounding a little bit more like Bray.
He said last week they're here to, you know, keep spreading the message, and that's what they're doing.
So you're having Harper really take that, you know, kind of almost Bray's right-hand man to heart and stepping up for Bray as Bray is reassessing and trying to figure out what his next move is going to be, because that's clearly what they're doing right now is Bray is trying to figure out is regrouping. So while Bray does that, Harper's sort of leading the charge for the family with Eric by his side,
mm-hmm.
which is, and I like that. I like that little development of both Eric and Luke. I like that you can see that, especially for Luke, Luke is a much more intelligent individual than anybody takes him for.
This is very, very true.
So, great promo.
Speaking of promos, out came Lana, the ravishing Russian. She called the Americans, the America leader, Barack Obama, a sissy. He said their leader, she said their leader is what they call a girly man. And then we had the video of Barack Obama doing weak workouts in the hotel gym. And then we saw Vladimir Putin on a horse.
Shirtless.
Shirtless Vladimir Putin on a horse. And then she said Putin will crush Barack Obama. And then Mother Russia will take its rightful place. Then Rusev came out with his gold medal. No broken freaking neck, just a gold medal. Just so you're not confused. And he destroyed Zack Ryder.
Pretty much, yeah. Lana was the best part of this.
She really was. She's getting over big time. And she gets everyone's attention whenever she walks out there.
Yeah!
For more than one reason.
Yeah, and they're all below her waist.
Uh huh.
Mm-hmm. Just pointing that out.
Oh,
I mean, damn.
Yeah. Up next, R-Truth Goldust took on Curtis Axel and Ryback. Yes, R-Truth was the partner for Goldust this week. And, well, back and forth a little bit, but in the end, Rybaxel, as I see on my TV right now, wins.
And Cody looked frustrated.
Yeah.
So did Goldust.
And like, who's he gonna find for me next? We'll get more into that here in a bit. Backstage, Layla was getting her makeup done. She wanted some lipstick that wouldn't smear or something. Or smudge.
She wanted the smear-proof lipstick so that way it didn't get all over Fandango's face when they, you know, made out.
Well, she didn't have to worry about that because she got dumped on by Samurai with milk. And then beat up. It was...
We're actually on that segment right now and I'm trying to see. Because I really do want to see if Summer pulled Layla's weave out.
It looked like she did. Because she ends up holding something. At the very end of it.
I actually think it's part of her dress.
Maybe.
Because, yeah.
I don't...
Yeah, it's part of her dress.
Okay, it's not weave. Okay.
Yeah, it's not part of her hair, it's part of her dress. Okay.
Though it was really...
That makes sense.
Though it was really dark, anyway.
Yeah, it was really dark. But yeah, that was great by Summer. Just like, oh yeah, you know, you guys stole my man? Fine. Have some milk and some powder, and I'm just gonna mess you up.
Milk.
And then she just walks off like nothing happened. It's fantastic. I kind of love Summer. I really do.
She's growing on you.
Mhm.
So 3MB is out as we start hour number two, and well, they said the Shield was supposed to come out and talk, but they don't think they're gonna come out and talk. And then well, the Shield came out. We had a brawl. Ambrose and Roman took care of 3MB, where there was a point where Heath Slater got away, and then turned around and ate a spear on the ramp.
Heath, don't talk shit on the Shield. Just don't do it.
And then the Shield decided to do a little bit of trash talking of their own.
The Shield was untouchable, and we will go down in the history books as one of the greatest groups in sports entertainment ever. We dominated WWE. We beat everybody. Even Evolution. But we weren't healthy. We had a cancer inside of us, little did we know. And that cancer's name... Cancer's name was Seth Rollins. History is full of people like you, Seth. Everybody in this building knows somebody like you, Seth. The kind of guy that would stab his brother in the back. Suck up. He would sell out to the authority. Now, when I get the opportunity to rearrange your face, which I will, your nose isn't going to be here anymore. It's going to be over here. By your ear. I say ear because you're only going to have one left. I'm going to rip all your dirty, stinking hair out by the roots. I'm going to stuff it in your mouth. There'll be plenty of room where your teeth used to be. Seth Rollins, my brother, you are scum, and we are looking forward to what that scum has to say tonight. We want you to stand out here in this ring in front of the whole world and lie through your teeth. We want you to stand out here in the middle of this ring in front of the whole world, and we want them to hear Triple H's words coming out of your mouth. We're going to listen to every word of it, and then we're going to beat the hell out of you. Oh.
Seth, you committed the most unforgivable sin. You're the scum of the earth. There's things you don't do in life. You don't tug on Superman's cape. You don't piss in the wind. And you don't ever stab your brothers in the back. But you're only part of the problem. The other parts are Randy Orton and Triple H. Randy Orton, he runs around here and he thinks everybody owes him something. He thinks he's the face of the company. When I get my hands on you, Randy, you're going to be the ass of this company. And when I'm done with you, I'm coming for you, Triple H. The King of Kings. Ooh. We're going to have our own Game of Thrones. Believe that.
Good promo by Ambrose and Reigns. Mainly Ambrose.
Mainly Ambrose, yeah. Roman didn't do bad. He's gotten better.
He's got better, but Ambrose was wholly on fire tonight.
And this is kind of what you were expecting from them. You knew Roman was going to be a little bit more reserved, and Dean was just going to pretty much lose his shit, which is pretty much what happened. Dean just kind of went psycho on 3MB before he cut that promo, and yeah, you don't piss them off.
No, you don't.
Especially Dean. He showed tonight, you don't make that boy mad. So this was really good, very well done, and I like how they said, we're going to let you say your piece. And then we're going to kick your ass.
Yep. Yep, that was good.
I mean, that was just kind of awesome. So, yeah, this was really well done. The Shield's not going to go down without a fight. The question is can Dean and Roman get it done against Seth?
That is the ultimate question at this point. Up next, the tag team champions, the Usos, were in action against Fandango and his partner, Damian Sandow, who was in a nude leotard, full body leotard, nude color.
Damian, honey, I love you, but if you're going to wear a full color nude body leotard thing, don't wear a white thong under it, okay?
Yeah, he wore a white thong. And he came out with a ribbon that he was dancing with.
He was an interpretive dancer.
He was an interpretive dancer. He's owning it. I'm just going to say this right now. It is stupid, but he's owning it.
You know what? It's getting him on TV.
And there's a lot of people back there that wish they were on TV. He's on TV every week. And talked about on TV every week.
He was trending worldwide on Twitter, for hell's sake.
He was. Solid match, but we had a little bit of trouble between Sandow and Fandango. And, well, Sandow ate a top rope superfly splash. And that allowed the Usos to get their win. And back on the winning track.
But sadly, well, caused a little issue between Layla and Fandango.
Yeah, it did. And, well, Layla was still in her milk-soaked dress. That was pretty funny.
At least they had the continuity that she hadn't been able to get cleaned up before she came out.
This is very true. Now it's time for the show where you just need to believe. That's right. The inspirational Bo Dallas was in action, and he sent a message to one Daniel Bryan. Daniel, the only way you can, you know, get better is if you believe. And he'll come back stronger than ever if you just believe.
Oh, Bo. He's special little snowflake like you.
Bo Dallas picked up the victory over Xavier Woods. Solid match. Another running Bo Dog. A victory lap. And some inspirational messages by one Bo Dallas.
Jiggle, jiggle, jiggle.
Yes, jiggle, jiggle, jiggle. Good stuff.
Mm-hmm.
We then have our next contest, Rob Van Dam versus Cesaro in a Money in the Bank qualifying match. Paul Heyman, though, was on the microphone. He said he was in the ring for something different. Heyman introduced himself and noted he is the 1-in-21. He said he earned that distinction when his client Brock Lesnar conquered the Undertaker streak at WrestleMania. Heyman followed up by noting that Lesnar was the most dominant athlete in the history of the University of Minnesota, which was received well since they're in Minnesota. He said he and his client came up with an idea this morning. He said his client wants to do something special tonight, and that is basically a WrestleMania victory party. The crowd was excited. They were waiting. They had anticipation for the one, the only, his client, the winner of the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal, Cesaro.
Heyman at his finest.
He had everyone hooked, line, and sinker on that one. Well done, Heyman. Well done. And then we had a solid matchup between RVD and Cesaro.
It was a really nice qualifying match. I really did enjoy it.
There was a nice spot where Van Damme did a rolling flip, and then he got lifted up for an uppercut, which was nice by Cesaro. But Cesaro hit the neutralizer for the victory. Cesaro is now headed to Money in the Bank.
He is. So, Cesaro over RVD. Another interesting choice.
Is Cesaro your next WWE champion?
He could be. He very well could be. You don't know. But yeah, you know, honestly for me, the best part of this segment was Heyman.
Heyman was tremendous.
Because he took you right down that path, and everybody was buying into it. Everybody thought they were going to get to see Brock Lesnar, and then, oh yeah, here's Cesaro. Like, he just led you right down that primrose path, and then was like, oh yeah, you're not going to get what you want, sorry.
Sorry, not going to happen. We then saw a picture of Randy Orton on vacation. He got the week off, so he was on vacation. And then people were surprised. Oh my god, Randy Orton actually owned shorts.
They're the closest to pants that they can get him in.
Apparently so. Up next, Michael Cole interviews Seth Rollins.
Look, I don't get it. I don't understand what all the controversy you're talking about is all about. I mean, are we just talking about what I did last week? Is that the whole deal? Because to me, that wasn't a big deal. I was just doing what was best for business. What was best for my business. The Shield, Michael, the greatest faction in the history of WWE, created by me. You don't think I have the right to destroy my own creation? It takes an architect, a mastermind, to put together a faction like the Shield. Do you think Dean Ambrose is in any way responsible for that? Dean Ambrose is a lunatic. Given a week to his own devices, he's face down in a ditch. And Roman Reigns, the golden boy. You'll never see anger or fury in a man like you've seen in Roman Reigns. But without someone to harness that, to control it, he's nothing. He's worthless. Dean Ambrose and Roman Reigns are nothing without me. They owe me every ounce of success they have ever achieved.
Seth, many people will argue that the Shield was about three individuals who came together to form an awesome team, not just about one man.
You know, I guess we'll find out later tonight when the pathetic remnants of the Shield have their last hurrah out here against the Wyatt family. Let me ask you a question, Michael. Why is this such a surprise? I took the Shield to the very top, as high as we could go. We beat everybody, all right? We conquered the world, Michael. At Payback, we beat Evolution in a clean sweep. And from every experience in life, you should learn something. You know what I learned from Evolution? I learned that to be a success in this business, you have to evolve. You have to adapt. I bought into the evolution of Seth Rollins. And another thing that you won't admit, and that none of you will admit, it took a lot of guts to do what I did last week. And everybody's fixated on the fact that I stabbed my brothers in the back, that I betrayed my brothers. And maybe to Roman Reigns and Dean Ambrose, we were brothers. But to me, they were just business partners. And I severed a business relationship. You know, for 2 years, every night, I came out here and I put my fist out and I said, believe in the Shield. And every night, what I meant is what I'm going to tell you right now. Is that you and everybody else better start believing in Seth Rollins.
Before we continue with the segment... Nice promo by Seth Rollins.
Really nice promo. He said a lot, but he didn't say a lot, if that makes sense.
Right.
Basically, it boils down to the fact that Seth's motive for turning is he used Ambrose and Reigns to get to the main roster, to get well known, to get famous, and when they took him as far as they could take him, Seth found another group to take him further. And that was Evolution.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I thought it was a good promo. It was a good reason. You know, I'm looking forward to more.
It was a nice start to showing what Seth Rollins is all about at this point, as he's a guy who, as he said, evolving. And you have to evolve into something new, and that's where he is right now.
So, very curious to see where this goes. I still say, out of the three, Dean's promo was the best.
Yeah, I would agree with you on that one. So, Seth Rollins, and, you know, said he was done, he said his piece, and brought up how they said they were vowing to come kick my ass. Well, come kick my ass, basically. So out came Roman Reigns and Dean Ambrose. They're about to go fire a fight. In the ring were Harper and Rowan, so it was a fight. Roman Reigns and Dean Ambrose versus Eric Rowan and Luke Harper. They brawled for a little bit. Seth Rollins got back involved. And then when the numbers turned against him, Bray Wyatt interjected. Seth Rollins escaped. John Cena made the save. And it looked like, I guess... the Shield have a partner.
This was a good little segment, a little predictable, except for the Wyatts coming out, because honestly, you half expected Evolution or Triple H or somebody, so clearly Triple H has recruited the Wyatt family to some level to kind of do his dirty work for him.
Right now.
And I would actually be really curious to see that relationship between Triple H and Bray Wyatt.
That was enough of the Damian Sandow's ass that I needed to see. That was a little too much. Anyway, because that's the segment on TV right now.
We got to see every part of Damian Sandow we ever wanted to see tonight.
Yes, we really did. Solid stuff, and you said predictable. Yeah, it had to be. I thought they were actually going to keep John Cena out of the ring tonight just because of his eye, but apparently he looks better than he did yesterday where it was swollen shut.
Yeah, well, the report said that it looked like he just got banged up, that there was no concussion, there was no orbital bone damage, that just the eye got banged up and it swelled up. So,
yeah, he was wrestling. You know, he wrestled yesterday with it shut.
Yeah, so props to him for that. But I was sitting here and it was like, who are they going to stick with the Shield? The Shield is wrestling the Wyatts. And, you know, in the back of my head, it's Cena. It's going to be Cena. I know it's going to be Cena. Which, it's fine. It's completely fine. I didn't have a problem with it at all. It's just, it's like, oh, hey, look, there's Cena. Color me surprised. But for a minute, I was like, when it was just Rowan and Harper after the lights came back up, I was like, wait, where's Bray?
They said Bray Wyatt and the Wyatt family. Where's Bray?
Yeah, where's Bray? And then he showed up.
And then he showed up. Like, he took his sweet time.
Yeah, he did. He really did.
Up next, Divas Jimmy and Paige took on Alicia Fox with Oksana. Solid match between the two. Paige won with the PTO. And then we had the latest freak out, and she freaked out on Oksana. She slapped her around, knocked her down a little bit, went to the crowd, stole someone's popcorn and waters, dumped it on the waters on Oksana, and then dumped the popcorn, started throwing popcorn, started feeding her popcorn. The freakouts, the flipouts, they're kind of getting stale at this point.
The freakout was clever, like, the first two times it happened. And now, it's just, she does it every time. So you're waiting for it. Like, you know it's coming. Anytime you see her, you know it's coming. And, of course, that's part of the gimmick. But it's just like, yeah, this is getting old. Fast.
Because they go on way too long.
Yeah, they do.
We then had a random match, Santino versus Jack Swagger. Swagger beats Santino. I guess the match was because he was on Zeb's list.
And interesting enough, Emma wasn't there.
Yeah, Emma was not there with Santino this week. We had Goldust and Cody backstage, and he said he finally found the right partner for you, and someone who can match Goldust's star power, and someone brighter than all the stars in the galaxy, someone who can magnify Goldust's magnificence. And he'll be someone next week. So, who will his partner be? That's the question.
I don't know.
And it's someone he has never seen before. So, we'll see who it is next week. Backstage, we have Triple H and Stephanie in their office. Steph said she can't get over John Cena, though. She doesn't understand why Cena is getting involved with the Shield. Hunter said it doesn't matter since tonight is the last night ever for the Shield. Vicky walked in with champagne. She wanted to celebrate because of the firing of Brett Maddox and Daniel Bryan's injury. She opened the champagne and choked, I guess, on it, and it spilled.
No, she sneezed.
Sneezed. That's what I thought, and this thing said choked. Steph slapped it out of her hand, because it got all, a little bit over Steph. And then she reminded Vicky that, don't make me fire you again. Vicky was scared and then left.
It's a waste of perfectly good champagne.
Yeah. We then are told next week's guest star will be Kevin Hart.
Yay. I don't know. Yay.
little black guy is coming to Raw. Yeah.
Shenanigans will ensue.
I have a feeling D-Sizzle may show back up. Anyway, main event time, John Cena and the Shield, or what's left of the Shield, Roman Reigns and Dean Ambrose, versus Bray Wyatt and his bill is Luke Harper and Eric Rowan, a.k.a. the Wyatt family. Good match.
This is a great match. Very entertaining, a lot of hard hitting, a lot of back and forth, out of the ring spots. Yeah, this is great. Very entertaining.
Yeah, Reigns hit all his big spots. Cena then ran in. Bray Wyatt hit him with Sister Abigail, so that took him out. Bray turned around and walked into a Superman punch. Harper then super kicked Reigns, two count. Harper then was setting him up for the clothesline, but took a big spear from Roman Reigns instead. Roman Reigns pins Luke Harper for the win. Shield and Cena win. I was surprised there was no finish. But no interference by Seth Rollins in this one.
I think a lot of people were. I think a lot were really expecting Rollins and Hunter to get involved in some capacity, and they didn't. And I kind of like that. Where it's they let it go to a finish. They gave the Wyatts the chance to take out the rest of the Shield.
Right.
And again, it's something if Hunter has convinced Bray Wyatt to do his bidding in some capacity, whether it's forced or not. And so Hunter knows the Wyatts are a destructive force. He knows Bray is looking for blood after his loss. So it's, let's let Bray Wyatt do his thing and see what happens. And they knocked the Shield down, but the Shield got back up. And Dean and Roman showed their strengths. It's like, yes, Seth was the architect. Seth designed the Shield. You know, he held it together. Roman was the powerhouse, and Dean is the, as they like to say, lunatic fringe.
Yes.
And Seth pulled his weight in the ring, too, but it's like you've got the lunatic fringe, who is completely unpredictable, and the powerhouse together. That's not too shabby.
It's not too shabby of a force right there.
So it's like, yeah, Seth, you might be underestimating them just a touch.
Just a touch. And that will do it for this week's edition of the Raw Post Show. Raw was pretty good. It was better than last week's long, drawn-out show. This one had a little bit of a better flow to it.
It had a better flow. And I think a lot of it is just the shows got put on hold until they decided what to do about the title. And now that that decision has been made, and unfortunately Dan Bryan was stripped of it, they can move forward with the storylines and press forward. So I like that. Because that was like the biggest thing in regards to Money in the Bank, is you have to set the qualifiers for the Money in the Bank ladder match, and whether it's going to be for the title or for the briefcase, you need that answer. And you need it preferably before you go into the pay-per-view.
This is very true.
I like that they settled this. I really do.
But that will do it for us. We will be back Thursday night, 11 p.m. Eastern, for another edition of The Rack.
Yes. Tune in, because we're talking about stuff. So we've got news, we've got notes, we're probably going to get into Daniel Bryan and Money in the Bank a little bit more. We've got Impact, we've got NXT.
Slammiversary preview?
Oh, that's right, we do have pay-per-view. Slammiversary preview, I'm sorry. I'm in the process of moving, so everything is like crazy right now. So yeah, Slammiversary preview, whole bunch of other stuff. Tune in, 11 p.m. Eastern, right here on The Rack.
Go back and listen to The Rack Extras, Total Divas, Season 10 and 11 reviews, now available on Wild Talk Radio and RackRadioShow.com. Saturday night, midnight-ish, it is CB Radio, the weird, the wacky, the unusual. Go back and listen to last Saturday's episode, because we played Mono Tunes, and it was as awesome as anticipated, and Kate Kins really, really was like, I hate you, I hate you, I hate you, because he knew all the boy band songs. So go back and listen, it's CB Radio, the weird, the wacky, the unusual, and maybe this Saturday the part-time player will show up. Follow us on Twitter at CB Radio WTR and Facebook.com/cigarettebuttsandbananas. You had a comment?
You should do the 8-bit wrestling themes.
If I could only find more than three. Sunday is WTR Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Radio live at 11 p.m. Eastern following TNA Slammiversary. Join Tim Stein, Mason, and Omega for the week in pro wrestling. Follow the show on Twitter at WTR Sunday Night and Facebook.com/WrestleTalkRadio. Kate Kinnens? No. Monday night, we'll be back 11:30 p.m. Eastern for another edition of Raw Post Show. Follow me on Twitter at Wild Talk Radio and Facebook.com/Wild Talk Radio Network. Check out WTRProductions.com. Lindsay.
You can follow me on Twitter at Linz Ward, LinsWard. Go to my website, psychwarddesigns.com. Check that out. If you like my artwork, if you'd like to buy some of my artwork, some of it is available for sale on my Redbubble.com store. As I've explained, a lot of pieces do get pulled. There are still some available for purchase. I need to look into how I can get the other ones back up and what qualifies and what doesn't. So I'm working on that in addition to everything else I'm doing. But in the meantime, there are still pieces available, so go check it out, Redbubble.com. And once again, contact us, psychwarddesigns.com. The link is in there. If you just want to view my artwork, because it is still available for your viewing pleasure, you can go to Behance.net/LinsWard, LinsWard, same as Twitter, and check it out. It is all available, including the Burn and Obey, I guess you want to call it, propaganda posters for the Wyatt family, which the Burn one was featured on the WWA app 2 weeks ago. Yeah.
She's kind of a big deal. Just playing that one out.
Three! So, anyway. Three now. That I know about. So, anyway, yeah. Go check that out. And, of course, listen to The Rack and all the other fine programming here on this network.
Thanks to PW Mania, Wrestling Figure Wednesday. I'm Rock. She's Lindsay. We're out later about it.
Wildtalkradio.com.